It's pitch black. You are likely to be eaten by a Gru.
Do you like a dark, twisted version of reality? Then tonight, you're in for a treat as we explore the lore, creatures, and stories of the Shadowfell.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about the Shadowfell.
Ah, yes. The dark, twisted version of reality.
Indeed.
The upside down, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So tonight we're going to get into some lore. This is a planar series episode, so we're going to get all kinds of wackiness in terms of what the Shadowfell is, some creatures and denizens, maybe some cultures in the Shadowfell.
Sure.
And, of course, lots of story options for you to run in your game.
Absolutely. This is your everything Shadowfell primer.
That's right. But before we get into all of that, if you haven't yet, hit the like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people and get notified when more awesome episodes come your way.
And if you're listening to the show, give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, or any other place you might be listening.
That's right. All right, Matt. So let's talk a little bit about the Shadowfell. First off, what's up with the Shadowfell?
As you mentioned, it's basically kind of like the upside down for D&D. For those of you, especially for people who got into D&D through Stranger Things, they're going to see some very strong correlations between the two.
I could say if you're a new player and you saw Stranger Things, I mean, you could easily run the Shadowfell as the upside down.
Sure.
And I think that'd be a lot of fun. It is great for horror. And since Ravenloft now is in the Shadowfell, it's a perfect place for the demiplane of dread as well.
Indeed. It is where shadow magic comes from, if you're playing it in Forgotten Realms specifically, but also if you're using that flavor of magic in other places.
Yep. And of course, it's got a nice, dark, spooky theme, and this is Halloween month.
That's right. 'Tis the season.
Yeah, sitting here, we are hitting that candy corn hard and going at some spooky themes. So, let's get into the good stuff. And by the way, this is the Cliff Notes version because we don't have enough time to explain everything in the Shadowfell. We're just giving you guys a primer.
Right.
I mean, there are so many books. For example, Paul S. Kemp's Erebus Kale trilogy.
Yeah.
With the Shadowvar and stuff like that. And that's just one set of books, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think, three sets of novels, a Twilight series, and something else. But there's also all of the lore from Forgotten Realms, all of the other D&D stuff. So tonight we're just going to kind of whet your appetite on some dark horror twisted themes.
Sure.
Now, speaking of which,
it starts off with the fact that the Shadowfell, the Plane of Shadow, Shadowlands, Shadow Deep, and just the Shadow, it all started off as a demiplane in previous editions.
Just a baby demiplane.
It was just so cute. You just wanted to pinch its little cheeks.
And it was made up of equal parts positive and negative as
yes.
well. And that was an old school edition, right? Like first edition, second edition, something like that?
First and second.
Yeah.
And on the beginning of third, because it wasn't until those sets of novels and those events that led up to in later 3.5 mm-hmm. that it became what it is.
I think the first version I remember of the Shadowfell from me was Ed Greenwood's books about the Milagrum, like All Shadows Fled and all that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the Milagrum were introduced in the Spellfire series.
Yes.
But it didn't explain where they came from. They were
until
just
later.
They were just some dark force at work.
Yeah. Speaking of later editions like 3.5 and 4th and 5th kind of updated the Shadowfell to become a dark echo of the Prime.
Right.
And it had border areas just like the Ethereal Plane.
Mm-hmm.
It had deep areas similar to the Deep Ethereal.
It's kind of like a combination of the astral and the ethereal.
In some ways, yeah, because it ties into all the different planes.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that all the ties to the ethereal, however, are cut.
Yeah.
Can't get to the ethereal from the Shadowfell, which is interesting, I find.
Yeah, very.
Now, in fourth edition, the spell plague happened and
right.
jacked everything up, right? And so then the plane of shadow becomes infused with necrotic energy as well. So what happened after that, Matt?
The goddess Shar, due to the elemental planes becoming like fused together and merged into the elemental chaos.
For those who don't know, by the way, who is the goddess Shar?
She's the goddess of darkness from Forgotten Realms.
And loss.
And loss.
Yes.
Yes.
So she infused it with necrotic energies.
Right. And it became the realm where the dead pass through to get to the fugue plane.
Which is Celemvor's realm in right. the Forgotten Realms.
Also, the Raven Queen entered around this time.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on in 4th edition with the Spell Plague and the Raven Queen and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And again, we're just cliff noting this.
Yeah. Technically, from the Forgotten Realms standpoint, the Shadow Demiplane became the Shadowfell when the Goddess Shar infused it with the negative plane.
Yep.
As far as the timeline for other campaign settings, it's not specified. It's strictly up to you and however you want to write that lore.
Yep. And if you're confused, it's okay. We are too. Now, 5th edition comes along, and now it's a parallel plane in conjunction with the Feywild.
Right.
And if you're interested in the Feywild, go see our episode on the Feywild. We've got one. And now it's an emphasis, though, of darkness and decay, whereas the Feywild is more of life and growth, chaos, right? It is home to shadows, dread, and dark feelings, which is great, right?
Yeah.
That's why Ravenloft is there.
Sure.
Being the demiplane of dread.
It's also why it's a great Halloween spooky time setting.
Yeah. Let's get a little bit of general stats. Now, we've got, I like to sum this up with the quote from the old school manual of the planes, which is what Matt.
It is the toxic place of darkness and power. It is the hidden place that hates the light. It is the frontier of worlds unknown.
Yeah. Well written, I think.
Yeah.
It's a striking plane because it is a complete lack of color and light.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sun, no moons, no stars in the sky. In fact, it's just a black sky.
Yeah.
All color is leached out of a person's body,
mm-hmm.
which is neat. And so it just leaves them stark black and white contrast, which is pretty cool.
It is. And I would run, I think, in the future, if my players go to the Shadowfell, the amount of time they spend in the Shadowfell is the amount of time it's going to take for color to return to them.
Sure. And it's a great visual, too.
Yeah.
Because that's something you can just describe right off the bat.
I might even run it as like a photo negative world.
Yeah. It warps people over time, too, which we'll get to. Normal gravity for the most part, normal time as the plane it resides near. So if you're in an elemental plane and you go to the Shadowfell, might be a little bit different than if you were on a prime.
Sure.
But aside from that, it's just like the border ethereal.
It's got half illumination. So if you pull out a torch, it only lights half as far with bright light and half as far with dim light.
Yeah, it hates the light. Much like me in the morning.
Much like both of us. And much like me at all times. Fire is suppressed, but light can be seen from 10 times as far.
Because there's no light in the plane.
Right.
And you don't really want to be seen.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a bit.
How to become a target. 101.
Yeah. Now, spells producing shadows are enhanced. Surprise. Mm-hmm. And, of course, illusions are also enhanced because it's a lot of times where the shadow stuff illusions are created.
It is also a magically morphic and divinely in the Forgotten Realms with Shar and Mask. So that means you can change the world around you using magic, and the deities that reside there or the powers that tromp through there can change the world around them.
Correct. So you're in the Shadowfell. It's pitch black. All color is drained from your body. Right? Yes. You hear spooky noises and such. Let's talk about getting around and some of the challenges in the Shadowfell. First off, how do we get around?
Getting there is not that hard. There are natural portals that exist everywhere, and the plane touches basically every place that shadows exist.
I would say it's probably one of the easier planes to get to.
Grab a shovel. You're going to get there eventually.
Yeah, because you can go to the Underdark,
mm-hmm.
go to your nearest shadow, think nasty thoughts long enough, you'll probably get sucked in.
That's true.
Yeah.
Cry in a dark corner and you might end up there.
That's also true. Now, it's hard to navigate. We'll get to that when we talk about the terrain. But basically, because it's a dark reflection and it's shadows, things are shifting around and moving. And so you might be walking along and get lost.
Right.
Which means you become food for whatever lurks in the darkness.
Sure.
Like a Gru, for example.
Yeah. Travel is normal for the most part, and it's faster than on the prime plane. Respectively.
Yeah.
Moving is limited by the lack of visibility and, once again,
the terrain.
Yeah.
And there's Shadow Walk is a spell, for example, and it basically speeds your travel up by bypassing into the plane of shadow.
Right.
And I always describe that when someone's doing a Shadow Walk, like, don't go off the path.
Right.
Because then you get lost.
And for storytellers, how do your characters travel when they're there, right? How are they going to get around? Consider time and distance. Travel is faster there. So that's good.
But if you're in a swamp, you're still in a swamp.
Yes.
And so there are certain obstacles in the Shadowfell that could take even longer to get through than in the Prime.
And this is just probably just the evil part of my brain. But is quicksand quicker?
Shadow sand. It sucks the life from your body as you get pulled under the water. Speaking of like water and sand and terrain, let's talk about the weather and the terrain.
Okay.
First off, the overall landscape saps the warmth from a person because it's got ties to the negative, you know, negative energy plane.
Sure. It's always night.
Which means you can't tell time as accurately as you could.
Right. And also, on some level, people in general, their sleep schedules are based off of the sun and, you know, light and dark cycles, which don't exist here.
DMs, feel free to have them travel until they drop from exhaustion.
Yep.
You want to add a horror element into it? You've been walking so long. Oh, make a con check. Why? I'm just walking. Make a con check. Why? Because you just walked another 6 hours. But I didn't feel like it because you're in the dark.
Yep. Or it takes less time to get exhausted because you have no way to track time. And it's mentally and physically exhausting.
Sure.
Depending on which side of that little evil coin you want to sit on.
Yeah.
Terrain is basically per the terrain of the plane that it is sitting closest to.
Sure. So, again, if you're on the Prime, it's going to look sort of like the Prime until you start walking off the beaten path.
I want to see the shadow negative volcano that you accidentally hopped by.
That would be badass. Very cool. Yeah. Landscape starts and then shifts dramatically.
Yes.
And so the problem with that is that a map you have of the Prime might work with when you first cross over. And then as you start walking for like 20, 30 minutes, it's all helter-skelter, right?
Yep.
There's all kind of, why is there a volcano there? I wasn't in a caldera. Now you are, right?
Because I wanted to describe a photonegative volcano. That's why it's there.
Yeah. Or you're in a swamp with shadow dragons flying about.
Sure.
About to make you into lunch. So a lot of dangerous things. Speaking of shadows.
Deep shadow can basically be anything.
And should.
Yeah. DMs, you can use this as an excuse to put your characters someplace unexpected.
Mm-hmm. If they're feeling ballsy and you need to challenge them a little bit, drop them in the deep shadow. Give them some kind of dark citadel or a dungeon crawl is awesome.
Both of those are good.
Or just highlight the alienness of the Shadowfell, because it's literally the border of unreality.
Yeah.
And so highlight that darkness, that entropy, that sense of loss and dread.
In fact, for me, just as a DM note, I think my attachment, how the Far Realm attaches to the other realms, is through the Plane of Shadow.
Sure, and now, it should. Yeah. Now, in addition to that, it also contains, the Shadowfell contains echoes of the Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like an exact echo. Oh, no. It's like this dark, warped version, like a dark analogy of whatever it's manifesting. And sometimes it overlaps different things, too. Yeah. So you might have dark cities, which we'll get to in a bit as well. You might have real residents composed of shadow stuff.
And they could be echoes of people that actually live in this city. So if you shadow jaunted from your base of operations in a city, you might see dark echoes of your neighbors. And if you want to play with your characters' minds a little bit, have those dark echoes reflect the dark secrets
of the characters?
Of the NPCs around them.
And at some point, they should be powerful enough to fight the PCs.
Sure.
Because that's fun, right?
If you've got a character that has a lust for power, right? An NPC that's just a shopkeeper or whatever that just dreams of having the power. Well, on the other side, maybe they do.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of the actual character. That'd be a fun cosmology as well. You have to merge the two, the dark side and the light side together into some kind of cohesive whole.
Mm, that could be interesting.
And we just wrote that, guys. You're welcome. We also encourage other terrain types that you might not expect in the Shadowfell. So, for example, the ocean. A Shadowfell ocean?
Oh, absolutely.
You think the ocean is dangerous now? Go into the Shadowfell where it's a sunless sea, where it's pitch black, and a phased mosasaur comes in and just eats you up.
Which way's up? Which way's down? It's pitch black.
Oh, you don't know. Yeah, you don't know where the surface is. That would suck. Let's talk, maybe put it in the tundra.
Yeah, shadow tundra.
Yeah, shadow polar bears. Bite your face off.
A shadow desert.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just
imagine, because the desert at night is cold. And it just leeches the heat out of you in the real world. So it's going to be vicious and awful.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Mountains.
Yeah. And of course, urban and Underdark settings as well.
Sure. Which
there's actually, it's actually called
the Deep Dark.
The Deep Dark, yeah. So for storytellers, think about this. Where are your PCs specifically in the Shadowfell? Are they on the border? Are they deep? Are they in a specific environment? How will they get to where they need to be, whether it's still in the Shadowfell or someplace else? What's being tossed in front of them to prevent them from getting there? Because the Shadowfell is all about obstacles and overcoming that sense of danger or loss.
Sure.
Speaking of dangers, what do we got in terms of like natural dangers?
Well, as we kind of touched on it a little bit, having a light source immediately marks you as an outsider and a target.
You remember in Invasion from the Body Snatchers where they just kind of point and scream, just that's pretty much what the Shadowfell is like when you light a torch. The paladin, you know, he's sinking in the swamp in the Shadowfell, and as he slowly sinks, he casts light on his sword, and then everything from 15 miles around converges on your location.
Sure. What was the first Riddick movie?
Pitch Black?
Pitch Black?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically the Shadowfell.
Oh, those things that come out at night?
Yeah.
Yeah, those things are crazy, man. Throw those in your game.
Sure. Yeah, that's...
There you go. That's an easy stat block, guys. We'll write it up for you. So having a light source is good if you need to see, but it's deadly if you need to survive. Speaking of deadly, the denizens of the plane are pretty much all deadly.
Yes.
And hostile.
Yeah.
Whether they're living, whether they're undead, or a little bit of both.
Unliving. I don't know. They're like, it should get weird there.
Yeah, it definitely should. The plane itself is deadly. Talk about the plane, Matt.
It basically, it's always cold, mm-hmm. right? So you've got to deal with that. It's flooded with negative energy.
Yes.
And the plane itself is toxic to life. It's suboptimal.
Not a great place to have a vacation. You don't see, unless you're maybe like a Kuotoan or something like that. I could see our Kuotoan.
Lokaeth or...
Yeah. Just kind of chilling, you know, on the shadow plane. Maybe some drow. Drow would like it.
Some would,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are some creatures that would be okay there, but generally speaking...
Not a great summer vacation.
No.
Most importantly, prolonged time on the plane will change a creature or your PCs mentally and physically. You will be turned into something else over time.
Yes.
It will warp you, which is cool.
I agree.
And you should definitely lean into that if they stay for any extent of time.
It saps the will of creatures and the life from them in most cases.
Yeah, especially if you're in like a deep part.
Mm-hmm. It causes them to become cold, apathetic, and to just fall into despair.
And this is something you don't see a lot in terms of playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely recommend DMs. Don't just like hit them with the negative energy or, you know, hit them with strength damage and stuff like that. Oh, you can, but also describe the despair and lack of positive feelings that they feel when they're in the Shadowfell. Because I think that's a really cool narrative device.
I agree. I also would say stuff like, if you're attacking your players with a monster and the barbarians, like I rage, you look them dead in their eye and say, you do, but it takes so much more to dredge that rage up than it used to. And it scares you.
Yeah.
Right. There's no mechanical effect there, but just the fact that they're becoming apathetic and the fact that they're losing hope makes it harder for them to rage.
Put some fear into your barbarian. Yeah. For one. Your wizard's already scared because he's just looking around going, I don't want to be here.
I'm made of paper. Can we hit the eject button yet?
Warlock's rethinking his patron as he's sitting in the Shadowfell going, well, you know, it's not too much time to rewrite that contract.
Right.
Now, in addition to sapping the will from your PCs and stuff like that, there are some environmental dangers as well. Just a couple that we would like to light upon. Shadow Quakes and Shadow Lands.
Yes.
So what are Shadow Quakes?
Shadow Quakes are, they're almost like a combination of an earthquake and hallucinatory terrain hitting at the same time. It's basically the plane has an earthquake and then the entire terrain changes.
Because everything's moving around because shadows move and writhe in real life. And so because of the shifting terrain, you might just suddenly, as we mentioned, be in a desert or an ocean and a shadow quake happens because it just rocks the whole localized area.
Yep.
Bad times, man. Bad times all around, right?
No good.
Now, Shadowlands are even worse than that because that's where the negative energy plane kind of seeps in even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only do undead appear spontaneously, for example, but also you're getting negative energy damage.
Yes.
And that's no bueno.
Nope. Nobody likes necrotic damage.
And then finally, our favorite part of this plane.
It's where the domains of dread live.
That's right.
Or unlive.
Yeah. You really want to scare your players? Take them to Ravenloft.
Let me give you an example here, right? Your players are on the plane of shadow. And they're tromping through and they've been having this terrible time. And everything is just awful. And ahead of them, they see light.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as they start heading towards it, they see a forest that looks like a forest.
Oh, a mystical forest, Matt?
With sunlight, actual sunlight. And they can start feeling the warmth coming off of it. And they walk into the forest and the mists close behind them.
Oh, welcome to Barovia. What a delight. Yeah, I love that.
Because I'm not a nice guy.
Sure. Or you have someone say, I wish I was any place but here, and the mists close about them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about surviving in this wretched world.
Sure. Food exists for a given value, but it's often toxic, fouled, rotten, or decomposing.
Maybe you can eat mushrooms or something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, there's no light to grow anything.
Right.
And most of the creatures are carnivores as a result.
Right.
I guess you could eat the creatures. But they might be toxic,
yeah,
or fouled or rotten immediately when killed.
Yeah. Bring your purified food and drink.
Yeah. Fire doesn't warm as much as it should because you're always cold. You always feel cold even if you're warm.
Yep.
And it marks you as a target. So keep it dark if you can. Keep it quiet.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
That's right.
You need to have some cold and negative energy protection to make it for any length of time. And dark vision is going to make your life significantly easier.
Absolutely. Watch your six, stay quiet, guard your mind.
Yep.
And you can do that, you probably can survive.
Yeah. Just check in with each other often.
All right. Let's switch it up a little bit. Now let's talk a little bit about what, Matt?
We're going to do the question of the week, man. All right.
Is it Shadowfell related?
It is.
Awesome. All right. Hit me. What do we have?
You cast Find Familiar a little too close to a pocket of the Shadowfell. What answers? And I'm going to go a little further. Left to its own devices, what form is it going to take before you choose it?
Before I choose it, it's going to be this writhing mass of just dark tendrils and like teeth.
Like a baby Arms of Hadar?
I'm thinking like a... Or, yeah.
Or like Ivard's black tentacles.
Or like a dark mantle or something like that. Yeah. Or what is it? Shadow Weaver?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say what shows up is actually a dark sugar glider.
Nice.
So it's jet black, but mm-hmm. it's a cute, you know, sugar sure. gliders are cute. I mean, they get these big ass eyes and they're just like this big, but as you mentioned, it's like this malevolent thing of teeth and it just kind of turns into this sugar glider and everyone's like, what the hell is that? And the best part is when people aren't looking, it turns back into the writhing mass of tendrils.
I love it.
Like out of the corner of their eye, but when they look at it, it's still a sugar glider.
I love it. You know, I firmly believe that whatever spirit you summon for your familiar should have elements and touches of the actual spirit in it.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
all right, what's yours?
Part of me says the cat from Pet Sematary.
Yeah, they always come back. I would approve of that.
Right. But I love the idea of the creature starting out as the shadow
mm-hmm.
of whatever creature you're trying to turn it into.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you want a raven, it starts out as a shadow of the raven on the ground and then stands up and slowly takes a three-dimensional form of it.
That'd be cool. I like that. Yeah. So you're basically just a creepier version of Find Familiar.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you guys think? What's your familiar that you summon from a dark corner of the Shadowfell? Hit us up at Goblins Corner on Twitter. And of course, you can find us on all the other social media channels.
Indeed. Speaking of creatures,
let's talk about some creatures of the Shadowfell.
Okay. A lot of the creatures of the Shadowfell are either composed of shadow stuff, which is thought to be kind of like the leftovers of creation.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that they're composed of the same material, which is neat. You also have regular animals, like natural animals, echoes of either echoes composed of shadow stuff or straight up animals that got abducted into the Shadowfell.
Or just wandered into the wrong corner.
Yeah. Hidden that wrong hole in the ground and end up in the Shadowfell. And they're looking around going, well, all right, I guess I got to live here now. Sometimes they're warped into brand new natural creatures, quote unquote.
Sure.
Just lots of fun.
You can also just toss shadow in front of a lot of creatures, right?
Because the game writers did.
Sure.
I mean, and seriously, this is not even an extensive list. We literally just glanced at the book because there are chapters on this stuff. Give us some examples, Matt.
You've got a shadow mastiff and a shadow dragon.
Sure. You've got ephemerals.
Right. You've got umbral creatures.
Dusk beasts.
Dark creatures.
Seriously, put shadow in front of whatever animal you like, and you could probably put it into the Shadowfell, such as maybe a shadow tarsk.
Sure.
Yeah, have that guy roll up. You're hiding behind a tree in the Shadowfell from the Shadow Dragon, and then you look up, and the tree's actually the leg of the Shadow Tarsk. And he's eating the Shadow Dragon.
Yeah, if you didn't see that coming, then you've got it coming anyway.
Too bad. Yeah.
But you also have humanoids, which are basically the same as animals, but with a couple of unique creatures tossed in.
So we've got shades,
mm-hmm.
which we'll get to as a culture as well.
You've got the Milagrum,
which are fleshy shapeshifters from beyond.
Mm-hmm. The Shadarkai,
which are shadow elves, essentially.
Yeah.
I think they're associated with the Raven Queen, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dark Ones.
Which are, they're like small halflings, sort of with like, they have like kind of like rat-like faces in most of the illustrations.
Yeah, they're the halfling version of Shadarkai, I think.
Yeah.
And then Gloamings.
Which, do you remember what a Gloaming was?
I do. They're basically the Shadowfell version of Genasi.
Yes.
Yeah, they're plane touched.
Mm-hmm. You also have all kinds of other creatures as well. Some examples could be Kinku, which are mm-hmm. associated with the Raven Queen. But more importantly, there's lots and lots of
monsters.
Yeah.
Just
we would recommend a couple, and other books recommend these as well, but anything that's related to Shadow or in the Underdark works perfectly. So Cloakers, Dark Weavers,
Versarabs, the Shaduricals, which are what, were Shadow Mastiffs?
Yeah. So they're basically Shadow Mastiffs that turn into people.
Because that's not bad.
No. hags, like sure. Night hags would be great. You've got the Sorrow Sworn, which if you haven't looked these guys up, oh, they're great. Dark Reflections of Loss.
Yeah.
So the one that's, I think one of the ones is like starving on the plane, and it's just this gluttonous thing with big vicious teeth.
Yeah.
The one that is of a person that dies of loss or represents loss in the plane is, I think it's like a multi-armed creature with a bunch of razor blades that wants to hug you.
Yeah. It's just a spiked hugging creature.
They're awesome. Go look up. Yeah. Go up Sorrow Sworn. They're great.
You also have undead.
Of all types.
Yes. Every type of undead. All of the types of undead.
Bodax, banshees, ghosts, liches, nightshades, nightwalkers, specters, shadows, wraiths. Seriously, pick an undead.
It's there.
It's there. Because it's tied to the negative energy plane.
Right. You got shadow demons.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, like death giants and shadow giants.
Yep. And then, finally, some gods.
Sure. Sharon Mask from Forgotten Realms.
Yes.
The Raven Queen from wherever. Null, which is the dragon god of death in some games, is also there.
And you can pick other deities as well, depending upon what campaign you're playing and stuff like that. I could totally see, like, if you're playing an Eberron campaign, maybe something from, what's the realm of death? Maybar?
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Sure.
Or, so one of the Dark Six would be great.
Absolutely.
In Eberron.
Only makes sense.
Yeah. Mix it up, right? Make your own.
And speaking of other campaign places, next up we've got unique cultures.
So first up, again, this is the Cliff Notes version, but these are some I think you should know about. Let's talk about the Shades.
Sure.
So the Shades are from Nethril.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they were when Karsus the Mad tried to become a god by stealing the power from Mistra.
Right.
Which was Mistral at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the Nethril cities fell, and this one escaped into the Plane of Shadow and stuck around for a couple thousand years.
Right.
That's where the Shades came, right? The Shadowbar. Sure.
Because as a culture, they lived there too long and just
got warped.
Became shade people.
Yeah, yep. Became shady.
The Shadarkai.
Which are, the Fae.
Right. The elves in service of the Raven Queen.
Correct.
You've got the Milagrum.
Which, again, shape-shifting wizards, right? Fighting Elminster all the time, getting into trouble, turning into things and eating people.
Yeah. Just planning dark plans.
Yeah. A lot of dark, deep plans in the Milagrum. Not great wizards, though.
Not super great.
But definitely great big bats to throw at your characters.
But when you can turn into an enormous mouth.
Doesn't matter. You've got dark ones.
Yeah. They, once again, right, just creepy. Creepy little guys that are hanging out.
Now, they could be good, too.
It's true.
And that might be kind of a fun angle to spin as well.
I like creepy things that are good. Right?
Yeah.
To me, that's a fun little trope to flip around on.
And the Shadarkai are also another good one to kind of spin that angle on as well, where you're in the Shadowfell, everything's trying to kill you, and maybe some of those Shadarkai reach a hand out to help you because they've lived in this kind of sorrowful despair realm for so long. They're like, we'll get you to the next town.
Right.
It's going to cost you. Right.
Sure.
I mean, nothing for free, right?
I mean, you could have creatures that serve the Raven Queen as paragons of loss, not because they want people to suffer loss, but because they have suffered so much loss. And so they might be willing to help people just out of sheer empathy.
And keep in mind, this is also where souls pass through.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of dead people.
Yeah.
And so these cultures that live in the Shadowfell see that on the regular. So they're going to have kind of a dour disposition overall.
Absolutely.
Speaking of like dead things, we've got cults.
Yes.
And one particular cult, Orcus.
Only makes sense.
Throw them in the Shadowfell.
This is where the undead are.
Yeah.
Vecna.
Mm-hmm.
Another great one.
Death and Dark Secrets.
Yep. Any god of death, any god of darkness or shadow, this is a perfect place for a cult for them.
Yep. And then another that I would light upon, and of course, we'll do a whole episode on this because Ravenloft is huge, the Vistani.
Yes.
they roam through the Shadowfell as well.
They roam wherever they
want. They go wherever the hell they want.
They're capable of going.
Yes. Yeah. So it's totally acceptable to toss them into the Shadowfell and have an encounter.
If you see that an encounter is about to go very south for your characters and need a logical methodology to prevent a TPK, you know,
toss
a couple
it
of caravan rolls by and
yeah,
provide you a little Deus Ex Machina.
Now, in addition to all of the terrain, all of the creatures and the cultures in the Shadowfell, maybe you want to throw something a little closer to home, like a city or a location at your players, because it's a big dimension.
Sure. I mean, that only makes sense.
So for that, we've got a couple choice locations that we would recommend you use. And this can be just like a one-shot campaign, or maybe when they go to the Shadowfell and they need a little more interaction than just survival against the terrain.
Right.
Gloomrot's a great place to go, which is this gigantic city ruled by Prince Roland the Deathless.
Sure.
Yeah, some human guy. But it's cool because everything, it's like Dark City in my head, the way it's described, because everyone's there. It's a city, but everyone's out to get you.
You've got Letherna, which is the Raven Queen's realm.
Always fun to have an adventure in the Raven Queen's realm.
Yes. It is also, even though she's not the worst of the dark deities by any stretch,
she's still a dark deity.
She's not a nice person.
No.
It's not a nice place to visit.
But I could see a fun encounter in that realm.
Absolutely.
The Shadow Dark is also really cool, especially if you guys are in the Underdark. There is a Shadowfell version of that. It's called the Shadow Dark.
Right.
It's like the Underdark, but worse. And if you guys want to kind of learn a little bit about the Underdark, go check out our episode.
Indeed. You've also got the Shadow Swamp.
Yeah, because there's nothing better than getting eaten by a crocodile and having the paladin drown is having the paladin drown in the Shadowfell being eaten by a shadow croc.
Also gives you a chance for the shadow croc barbarians.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm all about that, right?
Absolutely.
You want a dark swamp adventure with some shadow dragons and stuff? Throw them in the Shadow Swamp. Be great.
And it's basically just what's advertised on the tin, right? It is a shadow version of the swamp. It's just also enormous.
Yes. There's Evernight.
Yeah.
What's Evernight?
Evernight is the dark reflection of Neverwinter.
Yeah. And by the way, all the major cities have dark reflections.
Yes.
They're not all described, but you can find like lore books or some of the novels. You can find some of the dark reflections of the Shadowfell. Guess what, DMs? Just make one up.
Yep. And if you need some flavor, basically look up Evernight and then apply that basic template to whatever city your players are coming from.
And if you don't have descriptions of stuff like that, that's cool. Take your city and make it the worst case scenario on the Shadowfell.
Sure.
Like literally just mirror that. And then finally, you've got a myth, which I think would be a cool epic encounter to find, or even maybe to like a location when your players are almost dead and they find this place. It's called the Legendary Shining Citadel.
Indeed.
Which, do you remember the lore for that, Matt?
I do. The ruler of the realm originally stole all of the light and the color and placed it in the city to protect the city.
Yes.
From the coming dark.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of unique themes that are appropriate for the Shadowfell. Obviously, the first big one is the concept of light and darkness.
Sure. Death and the dead.
Yeah. Because this is where the dead go.
Right.
Maybe you wind up and you play a game where all of you are dead. What better place than to start on the Shadowfell, right?
Sure.
That would be kind of fun. To start like everyone's dead and have to come back alive.
Despair. The very depths of despair is a theme for the Shadowfell.
Again, thematics is what we're going for here as well. The concept of decay is huge.
Sure, because of undead and swamps and all of that. The concept of dread.
The demiplane of dread lurks in the Shadowfell now, so.
Sure.
You can also go some tried and true stuff, like just straight up exploration, right? Exploring the Shadowfell has its own rewards and dangers. Maybe there's something that only you can get from the Shadowfell. What a great place to introduce your characters to, right?
Sure. Dark Fae and Dark Pats. is a strong theme that you can run with here.
Maybe you, instead of rolling up on the toadstool ring, you happen to find a ring of like interlocking shadows, and that's where like a night hag happens to hang out, or like you said, some kind of dark fae creature, or even like a gloaming or something, and you make a twisted pack, Mr. Warlock.
Sure.
What a cool patron, a dark fae shadow patron.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Like a deep unsealing, like deep unsealing.
Yeah. Yeah, some twisted shit right there. Things that go bump in the night. Again, horror themes, right? Yeah. It could just literally just be monsters come from this realm and nothing good comes from it. That's a fun theme to explore and an easy one as well.
Sure.
Because that's an us against them survival type thing.
Absolutely. And sometimes that's fun, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes just knowing that you're in the right is fun. Shadow magic. The theme of, you know, taking the stuff of shadows and bringing it into something semi-real is a great theme.
So we've got a lot of fun stuff with that. And of course, we mentioned the survival horror stuff. You could throw survival horror into any of these other themes. Mix and match them.
We will. Yeah.
As you like.
Finally, we have
some story ideas. And again, we are who we are, right? Give you guys a little bit of taste of the Shadowfell. So here's the first one. Players are lost on the Shadowfell, having accidentally stepped through during an unlucky detour. How will they return?
Simple get out of dodge option.
Yeah.
Right?
You went through the wrong door. You got to find the way back.
A lost Vistani finds the players and asks them to help the individual return to their caravan.
Yeah. I'm lost. I need to find my caravan. Help me get back.
Yeah.
Might have to go through Ravenloft to do it. Characters must acquire blank from the Shadowfell. Yeah. Right?
Fetch quest.
Yeah. Potion, an item, a monster, whatever, right? A person.
Yeah. A pet.
Anything, really.
Binky got lost through that closet.
Be terrible.
It is. A friend of the PCs, or one of the PCs themselves, has fallen into an unnatural despair and must be cured by finding the source in the Shadowfell.
I like that a lot, because that's something that you don't see a lot. They're thinking, oh, it's some kind of magical disease. No, they're just in despair, and you have to basically kill the source that's causing the despair in the Shadowfell.
And it's an emotional threat, not a physical threat.
A cult of blank has a base on the Shadowfell and must be stopped.
Sure.
Again, simple quest, right? So you had the fetch quest. Now you have the stop the evil thing quest.
Yep.
And it's just, where's the base? In the Shadowfell. Got to go there, survive the dangers, stop, save the day.
A hag deep within the Shadow Swamp makes powerful bargains for the right price. It's a great way for a character to multiclass in a warlock.
Yeah.
Or a great way for players to sidestep an obstacle if they're willing to meet whatever price is asked them, right? It's
you want that extra feat, it's going to cost you.
Yep.
Sure. Every night, creatures from the Shadowfell murder and terrify a local town. Can the PCs stop them? So every night, when the shadows start to grow, creatures just like pop up through the shadows and start abducting people, tearing them limb from limb.
Yeah.
That could easily be a low-level, mid-level, or high-level episode, depending upon how you style it.
And you could also set it up as like survival horror. Right. For the first couple levels, you're just trying to
find a place where there's light.
Survive.
Yeah.
And then as they get more powerful, find out what the source is and then how to deal with it.
Absolutely.
So you could run that for a while. Players need to rescue a soul that should have moved on to another realm, but hasn't.
Now it's stuck in the Shadowfell.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. The big bad evil guy has a base set up in the Shadowfell. And it's a mirror of the party's base. I love this because maybe the BBEG is just killing the characters, right? I mean, every time they show up, it knows where they are. It knows what they're doing. They're like, how does it find out? It's literally because their base is directly on the other side of the plane. And they're just doing a scry. It's not very far.
Right.
Maybe they're stepping in when they're gone. Like every time they go out on an adventure, it goes into the shadow, looks around at their base and goes, cool, builds a trap, and leaves.
I also love the theory that what if the big bad evil guy is actually the big bad evil guys and it's the shadow players?
Yeah, it's the analogs to them.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that as well. And then finally, the Shadowfell is where you go to make deals to raise dead or resurrect party members.
If the party doesn't have it?
Yeah. That is fantastic because you want to play up on that dread. Yeah, they come back, but they're a little changed.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. All right. Bill's dead. Bill the Paladin died. He drowned in the swamp. We got to drag his waterlogged body into the Shadowfell and raise Bill the Paladin.
There's a reason why you do things through the proper channels.
Yeah. What comes back may not be Bill.
Or he comes back as a reborn.
Oh, that would be cool.
Or, you know, something like that. That could be a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. So there you have it. Some story options, some themes, creatures, cultures, monsters, even a couple locations we threw in for you to kind of get you guys started on running a campaign in the Shadowfell. We hope you enjoy it.
Indeed.
Because I enjoy it. And, you know, it's all about me. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblins Corner on Twitter. And, of course, you can find us on all the social media channels.
Indeed.
Do you like our show? We hope so. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
If you could do us a favor, click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to us. And on YouTube, hit the like, subscribe, and the notification bell so you get to know when we put out more amazing content. It also helps put our show in front of more people, and it boosts us and feeds the hungry algorithm.
Which is currently lurking under your bed, slowly stealing the light and warmth from your body. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks. The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staple.
D20 did our music.
And this has been a Subterranean production.
Later.